Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
Amen and amen. Turn around and give somebody a high five. Let's have a seat and get going. Worship team, you are amazing. That was beautiful. Thank you for taking us to heaven on this Wednesday night. Now, I'm not sure what you're bringing for me to use. What piece of furniture? Oh, well, there it is. Oh, there's everything I need. Thank you. Tonight, if you are here for the first time, we do want to welcome you. And if that is anyone here, we promise we won't make you feel awkward, but we just want to give you something, a little something from us. Is anyone here for the first time? Oh, welcome to the Rock Church. We're glad you're here. We have a saying at the Rock that you're never a stranger in your Father's house. I'm one of the old ones here, the elders. My name is Debbie, and Jim and I started this church eons ago, and so we're founding pastors here. And tonight, the assignment is on my life, and so I'm going to be speaking tonight and delivering the Word of God. And tonight's message is called Finding God's Yes Behind Life's No's. And so if you are here for the first time, you received a card. If you could just fill that out and put it in the offering seed bucket as it goes by. Sometime tonight, it will go by. And we promise we won't bug you, but we will pray for you. And if you're joining us tonight online streaming, Jim and I were out of town this week, and I streamed both services this weekend, and you all looked so good online. And my son was preaching, Pastor Luke. Of course, he's gorgeous. Yeah, he's our baby. Pastor Lukey to me. He hates it when I do that. He just hates it. He's 34. He's a grown man, has two beautiful children and a gorgeous wife. And Luke is an amazing man of God. And Pastor Dan Roth, our son-in-law, is an amazing man of God. And our daughter Jess, and they're the senior pastors here. And so we're blessed to have children that have stepped into leadership roles at the Rock. And our other children are pastors of Rocks and other places. So we have an amazing family. And God has raised up our family to serve in the kingdom of God. And that was not always so. Jim and I were married so many years ago, almost 40 years ago, and we brought a blended family together, and we had been to hell and back, and God brought us through. And then our family, he took through hell and back, and God brought us through. And so we're a picture of a family that's not a perfect family, but we serve a perfect God. And so that's the story of the Rock. And that's why there's an angel in the foyer, and there's a little plaque out there about a warrior, a wounded warrior. And when you think you fought your last battle, and when you think you can't do one more thing, God comes sweeping in, and he brings his angels and gives them charge over us. And he is the God of the last moment, the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance, the God of mercy and grace. And the God that is the God of the impossible. And Jim and I are testimonies of that. And this church is now on its second wind, its second generation. And we're excited as to what God is doing. And I hear this weekend is going to be quite a weekend with Marcus Witt is coming for this weekend. And that'll be exciting. And Iglesia La Roca and our Spanish-speaking ministry and all the Latinos and Latinas. Is that right, Latinas? Did I do that right? Iglesia La Roca, si habla español. And so it's going to be a great weekend, but God's good. And so tonight I wanted to look at the Word of God with you, get right into the Word. So I've got the first opening scripture in tonight's message, finding God's yes behind life's no's. Because if you've lived on the planet for any length of time, you found, as I have, that there's a lot of no's in life. You dream a lot of dreams and you try a lot of things, and doors get slammed in your face. And if you're like me, it's not necessarily something that you grow to love. Anybody here love rejection? Nobody does. And nobody likes a no. We all like the yes and the open door. Unless you're a masochist, you like open doors and you like opportunities. But you see, the closed doors and the no's are important to us, and it's absolutely integral and important as to how we handle these no's. Because as we're going to see tonight, there are yeses behind the no's, but most people don't go past a certain amount of no's and they stop. And the real call on successful people's lives is how they perceive the no's in their lives. One person will look at failure and look at what has happened in their lives and they'll stop. Where another person will see failure and hurt, another will see opportunity and will get up and get going and keep going and go on to success. And so it's something that you and I have to learn how to deal with because it's going to be a part of life. So I've looked at this and I've asked the Lord, how do I bring this to this congregation? And so there's three categories that I'm going to look at tonight about no's. I'm going to look at handling the no's of life, which I'm going to list as time and circumstance. Handling the no's of man, because man is going to come into our lives and tell us no. How do we handle the no's of mankind? And then handling what seems to be, at times, the silence of God, when it seems as if God would say no to us. Now, there are times when God says no, and if God says no, we better not mess with that. But there are times when God is silent. And there are times when God's delays are not God's no's or denials. And we need to discern, what is God saying and what is God doing? And when you don't hear from heaven, is that a no? And what do I do? And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. So are you ready? I want to look at three areas tonight. So let's go to category number one, finding the yes behind the no. So, of course, to understand that there is a yes behind the no, I've got to know that God says yes. And when Jim and I were first married and we were young Christians, and I say young because I don't know if we were ever young. We look at each other now and say, was there ever a time in our lives that you can remember that we were young? And we were young at one time. I know we were because there's pictures. But in 2 Corinthians 1:20, when we were young and married and we were on our honeymoon and we were just beginning life and he took me to a faith convention, we were learning how to believe God. We had come out of, Jim had come out of a major denomination, and I had come out of an evangelical community, and we were learning how to believe God in a way that we'd never had before. We were learning how to read the Word of God for the first time and actually learn that God's promises were for today, and that they weren't just in the Old Testament for the Jewish people and for the Old Testament, but they were actually relevant, and that what God promised Jeremiah could actually come alive in my life and be for Debbie Cobray in, at that time, the 20th century. That word could speak to me, and maybe that seems cliche to you now, but for me that was a whole new thought. Because I've been taught church history, I've been taught the Jewish history as an evangelical young Christian growing up in a wonderful church, but I'd never been taught that God's word speaks continually. And that you can hear God's word, and that that word in the book of Jeremiah could actually speak to a 27-year-old woman in 1978 and could speak to her about her life in the book of Jeremiah then, and it could actually be a rhema from God, a spoken word from God that could ignite her faith. I was learning that God doesn't give me more faith, that he's given me the measure of faith, that we've all been given the measure of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that God's given you the measure of faith, and he's given me the measure of faith. We all, when we got born again, we were given the measure of faith. The just shall live by faith. Just like when you have a baby, that baby's born with all the muscles, all the organs, everything it's going to need to be a human being. It just needs to grow up and develop into that human being. When you got born of the Spirit of God, I got born of the Spirit of God, that I've got everything I'm going to need to be a mature believer. I just have to learn to grow up into that believer. And so that's why every time the disciples asked Jesus, give me more faith, increase my faith, Jesus said, you don't need more faith. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be thou cast into the sea. And if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed and you believe in your heart and you don't doubt, that mountain has to obey you. He never said you need more faith. He said you need to develop your faith. You need to have the faith of God. What he was doing and what I was never taught is Jesus came to bring us the kingdom. He came to bring us and show us that there was an invisible kingdom that we couldn't see or taste or touch or smell or feel, but that we were introduced into it and that we could live in this kingdom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that this kingdom was going to be available to us, and that when he had fulfilled the destiny of the cross, had been raised from the dead, had sent the Holy Spirit, and we, the church, got born of the Spirit of God and filled with the Holy Spirit, that the kingdom had come unto us. And he said, fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now we had to learn how to operate in the kingdom of God as his children. You see, I'd never been taught that. I didn't know what the kingdom was. I didn't know that there was this invisible power and this invisible kingdom, and there were laws, and there was a system, and there was a king, and there was a rule of law called agape love. I didn't understand any of this, and I didn't know this. So when Jim and I got married and we were learning all of these things, we learned that all the promises of God were yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And that's my first scripture. So can I have it up on the board? For all the promises of God are, read it with me, yes and amen, amen, Hebrew, amen, in Christ Jesus. You see, Christ Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. Every ounce of condemnation against you and I was completely wiped away at Calvary's cross, because he was the last Adam. He was the sanctified, absolute propitiation, as Pastor Dan taught us, at Calvary's cross. So when the wrath of God came upon that blood, and that blood was accepted, every sin that you ever committed, every sin that I ever committed or will commit, wiped away and washed away. Now I am righteous and justified and cleansed and holy before Almighty God. Now I am a daughter of God. Now I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Now I'm a daughter and a child of the Almighty God. Now I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That means healing promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That means prosperity is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Guess what? It's not the will of God for you to be so poor that you can't put food on the table, you can't put a roof over your head, you can't feed your children, you can't send your kids to school, and that you can't have a blessed life. That's not a good father. That's not God's will for your life. I don't care what anybody says. God's got streets of gold. He's made the galaxies. He's made the planets. Let's get a reality check. He is not El Cheapo. We live in a poverty world that says God is a God that has a stick in the heavens, and he doesn't want to bless you, and he doesn't want to love you, and he doesn't care about you. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and that is spawned from Satan himself, who sees us as sheep for the slaughter. And he's put a no and a giant and a lie in front of every promise of God. And if you don't know that, then you're just plain stupid, honey. It's a fight. You think this thing is going to just happen. You're wrong. You're in a war. You better get your battle gear on. You better put on your war gear, and you better get ready to fight. And you're not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers and high places that want to steal and kill and destroy everything that he has paid so much to get to you. And not so that we can just cha-ching and have a sugar daddy, but so that we can get this job done and get home and get on with eternity. That's why we're here. But the body of Christ is in a fog, and we're fighting each other, and we're jealous, and we war up against each other, and we fight and devour each other when, in fact, Jesus said, what are you doing? Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you know the kingdom is everything? When Jesus had to feed 5,000 men plus women and children, he didn't need money. Money couldn't have fed them. He needed the supernatural, miraculous faith and power of the kingdom of heaven to take a little boy's lunch and multiply it and get the job done. Are you hearing me? When that man with a withered arm stood in front of him in that synagogue, he didn't need doctors and hospitals. He needed the healing, miraculous power of the kingdom and the Holy Spirit to bring that arm and make it whole. Are you hearing me? When Jairus' daughter was dead, and they came and said, don't trouble the master anymore, he didn't need doctors and he didn't need whatever those things are that they put on you to bring her back to life. He needed faith, and he looked at Jairus and he says, don't fear, only believe. Why? Because he needed the kingdom of God and the life-giving source, which was his Father and the Holy Spirit, to bring that dead child back to life. The kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you want it? Do you want to know how to use it? And do you want to begin to walk as sons and daughters of God? Or do you want to act like mere men and women and just trot along life and get along as best you can? Or do you want to start living the adventure of faith and start acting like sons and daughters of Almighty God and start seeing this city change and what God wants for your lives? It's up to you. Because Jim and I can't make this happen for you. We can make it happen for us, and we can pour it into our family, and we can teach this to you, and we can have our critics, but you are going to have to start believing this for yourselves. And I'm a living testimony that this is real and this works. So when life and circumstances say no, there is a yes behind that no. I want to give you a personal testimony about this. When we got married and we were learning this, we moved 11 times in 13 years, something like that. Maybe it was 9 years. 13 times in 11 years. We had already given one house away because we'd given a lot of property away. And we'd given a house away, we'd given a lot away, a dream lot away. Jim and I built houses before we got in the ministry. My husband built houses. And we didn't have a house. And Luke was just a little guy, I think he was 3 years old, and Jess was little, and Miranda was a teenager, and Kim was still living with her mom. So we were a young family. And we didn't have a house, and I just had a little dream in my heart. I just loved country. I just loved little country homes. I was real simple taste. I was in a country. I loved horses. I just loved country. And we were living up in Lake Arrowhead, and you know, Lake Arrowhead's up and down stairs and everything else. And Jim loved a view, which I didn't really realize how much he loved views, but he loved to see out. I married a big man with a big vision, and he's a big guy, and he just needs big things. And I've always tried to shove him into small cars and small places, but it just doesn't work. It just isn't going to work. And so we were looking at everything we could look at that we could afford, which wasn't much, because we were still learning how about this. I mean, we had little faith. And so, as we're looking at everything, God spoke to me. I heard the voice of the Lord. He whispered in my heart. It was a God whisper. And God said, I'm going to give you your desire. He says, I want to give you your heart's desire. And I had read that verse that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And I was learning to believe God. We were pastoring a little church in Lake Arrowhead, and we weren't the best pastors, but we were doing the best we could. And we needed a house. And I heard God, and I said, okay, and I found this house, and it was on the rim of the world, and it was on Ocean View Drive, and we didn't even know there was an Ocean View Drive in Lake Arrowhead. We came from Santa Barbara, so we knew Ocean View Drives, and we got in our car, and we drove to look at it, and I fell in love with it. It was my dream house. Oh my gosh, it was my dream house. It looked like Daniel Boone had lived there, but it was my dream house, and Jim just rolled his eyes, and he thought, oh God, she can't be serious. She's going to make me walk in this house. And he loved me. He really, really loved me. And I said, Jim, I think God says I can have this house. And he rolled his eyes at me. Did you roll your eyes at me? Yeah, he rolled his eyes at me. And so we walked in the house, and it was love at first sight. You know how you, have you ever loved something so much that you just don't see the flaws? Well, I didn't see the flaws. I saw no flaws. And apparently there were many, but I saw none. And there was only one bathroom, and Jim couldn't even stand up straight in the bathroom. That was a flaw. And we had three kids, and there was three stories, and it was on a cliff, and it was kind of falling down. That might have been a flaw. It definitely had a dip in it. But you could see all the way to Catalina on the four clear days of the year. That's why it was called the Ocean View Drive. And so it had a view for Jim. It had the view of views. I didn't even see the view, I just saw the house. And so, I love the house. And they sold it to us and we could work everything out and it was my house. I was in heaven. And I was so excited and I thought, I can't believe God's giving me my dream. It was my first experience of God speaking to me outside of marrying Jim and giving me something that was my very own. And I heard the voice of God. I heard it. And God gave me a scripture, and he gave me his word. And so we went into escrow, and we were all set to move. I had packed everything up. And 10 days before we were supposed to move, they called us, and they decided not to sell the house, and they pulled out of escrow. When they pulled out of escrow, I was devastated, because I'd heard God, and God had promised me that house. And I thought, you told me that was my house. We were ready to move. We got all the deals signed. It was all done. And I heard your voice, and we were scheduled to go to Texas to do this conference. And I said to Jim, I can't preach. I can't go. If I miss God so big here, how could I possibly hear the voice of God anywhere else? And so I was completely shooken in my faith. Shooken? Is that a word? Shooken? Shaken. That's better. Shaken. I was completely shaken in my faith. And I was young and I was shaken, and it was just, have you ever had an experience like that where you're learning to believe God and something happens? I was young and I've never forgotten this. And so we had to move. We had to move, and a friend of ours had a home in Running Springs, which was 17 miles up the road. Long story short, I packed everything up. We moved for the 14th time, and we moved our family there, and we had our church on Rim of the World. And so it was a 20-mile drive back and forth, and it was in the summer, so the kids didn't have to get involved in school. And I cried the whole way, and I said, Lord, you told me, you promised me, and I had it written in my Bible, and I had all the words that you'd given me. I had the scriptures that I prayed, and it was in escrow, and you spoke to me, and I don't understand, and why was there this no in front of your yes, and why did this happen? And I heard you, and I just stopped praying, and I just hunkered down, and I just did what I had to do. I got the kids together, I moved in, I unpacked, and I got our family settled in this little house, and I was done. I shut down. And I began to talk to God, and I said, I don't understand, but I love you, and we're just going to go on with things. And the Lord was good to me. He was kind to me, but I didn't hear from heaven. We went to the conference, and I spoke, and I did what I had to do, and it was all by faith because I had no feeling at all. I just felt like I had missed God by a million miles. And I realized then that there are times in your walk with God that you're going to miss God, and you're going to feel like a fool. But that's part of the no's. That's part of getting up and going on. And then after we'd lived in this house for 30 days, a phone call came, and the people called. And they said, we've changed our minds. We really want to sell the house. Will you forgive us, and will you let us sell you this house? So my husband said yes. And so within 30 days, we were in that house. So once again, this was now the 15th time I've moved. I pack up that house, and we moved to this dream house. We were there exactly 2 years. That house was prophetic. From that house, I'd sit on the edge of the rim of the world, because our house looked out over San Bernardino. I would be in the jacuzzi as it was snowing, and I would look out over the city lights, and I would pray over the city, and God gave me so many scriptures for this church, told me the name of this church. He said, I'll give you treasures out of darkness, out of Isaiah chapter 45. I'd pray over the city lights. He told me we're going to have a church down here. It'll be called the Rock Church. He just spoke so many words to me in that blue house. That house was prophetic, and 2 years to the day, that house was sold. An airline pilot came to that house, knocked on the door, and said, is this house for sale by any chance? I'd like to buy it. He bought the house for his wife. We sold that house. We were able to move down, start this church. This house was blessed by God, and it was the only house that didn't burn when that rim of the world caught fire. So that house house was blessed by God. But here's the no that was in front of that yes, and here's what I learned. When time and circumstances put a no in front of God's yes, what did God speak to me about this? Number one, God said to me, when I tell you yes, but time and circumstances say no, don't you stop believing regardless of what you have to keep doing. I don't know why I had to move my family twice more. I don't know why we had to move to Running Springs for 30 more days and spend all that money and go to all that effort, and I had to be all that disappointed. But God spoke to me and gave me a lesson that said, it doesn't matter what time, it doesn't matter what circumstances, it doesn't matter what life throws at you. When I give you a word, when I tell you something in my word, it's going to stand for all eternity, come hell or high water. Don't you stop believing me, and you do what you have to do until it comes to pass. But when I speak, it will come to pass. And God said to me, you are going to have to learn to declare your destiny and not what destiny declares over you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, I can speak my circumstances over my life, or I can speak God's destiny over my life. I can say what I have, or I can have what I say. Now, God is the God. If I can have that verse up there, and this is what we have got to go back to in the body of Christ. He is the God. In Romans chapter, do you have Romans chapter 4? As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him, speaking of Abraham, whom he believed God. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. God is the God that speaks things that do not exist as though they did. And you and I, in our life of faith, are going to have to begin to declare those promises that he has given to us and preach them and declare them over our lives as though they already existed in our lives, and begin to declare the promises of God over our destinies instead of what the circumstances want to declare over our destinies. That you're going to fail, that you're going to be sick, that you're going to be broke, that your kids aren't going to make it, that you're going to get that divorce, that it's never going to work. You see, that's exactly what Satan wants you to spew over your lives. And God says, I need you to understand who you are. You are my children, and death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know what that means? Can I have Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 up on the board, please? Do you have it up there? If you don't, let me quote it to you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know what that means? Your words are going to produce your life. What you say out of your mouth is what you're going to have in your life. Whether you like it or not, that's what you're going to eat. I can declare what my circumstances and what time has spoken over me, or I can decree and declare what God says and the destiny that he has determined by his promises over my life. That is my choice, and that is my free will. And you can say you're part of that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, prosperity preaching. Well, you know what? Maybe it's time to get back to some of that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, because I don't see a whole lot of prosperity going on in the Inland Empire in San Bernardino. I see a lot of weeds. I see a lot of poverty. I see a lot of crime. And maybe it's time to turn it around and begin to look at the promises of God and begin to say that maybe your God is a good God, and he has a good future and a good hope and a good plan for your lives. And maybe it's time to wake up out of the fog and wake up out of the sleep and wake up out of the immaturity and begin to stand up and become the sons and daughters of Almighty God that he needs you to be. It's a good word, because he's a good God. And it's time for this church to stand up and be the rock and be the children of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's time for us old ones to take you young ones by the hand and say, we walked out of the mud. You can walk out of this mud. You can walk out of this crap. You can walk into the abundance of God. You can walk into the goodness of God. You can walk into dreams and visions. You can walk into the things that God has for your lives. You can walk where you've never walked before. You can go where you've never gone before. You can do what you've never dreamed of doing, because He's a God that can do exceedingly and abundantly beyond you could ever hope or ask or dream or think, because that's who your Father is. But you're going to have to change some things. You're going to have to begin to decree and declare. Not your circumstances, but your destiny. Because your Father is the God of the universe that calls those things that be not as if they were. And He says, my sons and my daughters are my children, and they have my promises, and they're drenched in the blood of my King and my Son, and they are yes and amen. What are time and circumstances to God? If He told me that's my house, it's my house. Who gives a rip if I have to move 10 more times? If that's my house, that's my house, and we'll be in it, and that house will prophesy, and that house will accomplish its purpose in our lives. And Jim only had to live in that shower house 2 years. That poor man was bent over in that shower. It was only one bathroom, but he made it through, and today he's got a shower he can stand all the way up in, and he's in hog heaven. Number two, I got to move on. That was when life says no, time and circumstances. What do you do when man says no? Oh, this is a good one. When man says no, there's times when mankind comes up to your dreams and there's a big no. There's a lot of no's in front of God's yes. What do you do about that? Because it's going to happen. There are going to be people that don't like you. You're just going to rub them the wrong way. You're going to be the wrong color. You know what color you're going to be? You're going to be the color of God, and they're just not going to like it. I'm sorry, they're just not gonna like the bright shininess of your holiness. They're not gonna like that you look like Jesus. They're not gonna like that you're shining like heaven. They're just not gonna like, you just got that wrong color on you. It's called the God color. It isn't about being black or white or yellow or green or purple. It's about looking like God. And Satan don't like that at all. And he's got sons and daughters that are wicked and evil. And guess what? Not everybody's gonna be happy in heaven. Clue, wake up call. But God's kind to the just and the unjust, and so are we, and that's the secret weapon. So, when man says no, there's a beautiful story in the Old Testament, in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was cupbearer to King Artaxerxes, or however you say his name. I probably just slaughtered it. But anyway, Nehemiah gets word that the walls of Jerusalem are broken down and the Jews have come back from captivity, and he gets a burden on his heart and he begins to pray. And guess what? When you begin to intercede, you oftentimes become the answer to your own prayer. And God says, guess what, Nehemiah? You're it. I want you to go back and build up the walls. So Nehemiah gets letters from the king, and he takes an entourage, and he gets years off of his job, and he goes to Jerusalem, and now they are going to take this dump heap, and they are going to clean up the dump heap, and they're going to build the walls around Jerusalem. It's an impossible task, and there are enemies, Sanballat and Tobias, and all of these enemies of the Jews do not want the walls to be rebuilt. They don't want God's city to be rebuilt. They don't want the temple to prosper. They don't want the Jews to prosper. Why? Because Satan hates God and Satan hates us. Get a clue, you have an enemy. You're not wrestling with flesh and blood. So Nehemiah begins to do the impossible. In 52 days, which is impossible, he rebuilds the walls without any heavy equipment, without any electricity, without any unions, without any trades. They get the job done. Without Donald Trump, without any of them, they get it all done. And I'm talking about trash heaps. It was completely ransacked. So Tobias and Sanballat are furious. They want to get Nehemiah. They want to kill him. They want to get him down off those walls. They want to stop everything. They want to stop the move of God. That is just a picture of the enemy in your life. When you begin to do the will of God and the favor of God and the kingdom of God and the will of God begins to come on your life and your family, all of a sudden, you're fighting battles you've never fought. And you're going, what the heck is going on? What did I do? What did I do? Well, darling, you didn't do a thing. You're just living righteous. The favor of God's on you. Things are just happening. And guess what? The enemy's coming against you. Wake up and get a clue. Put your battle gear on. Hello? You're doing something right. It's good. This is good. You're doing something right. No one who lives godly will not suffer persecution for righteousness' sake. If you're living godly for Christ's sake, you should be suffering some persecution. So if you are, yay, you're doing something right. Give yourself a pat on the back. But what do you do when man says no? So what do you do? Well, this is what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah did not come down off the wall, and he did not engage Sanballat and Tobias in an argument. He talked to God, and he didn't talk to the men. That is a very good piece of advice, because when you begin to get into arguments with flesh, when demonic powers are behind it, guess what? It's going to get you nowhere. Have you found that out? When you get into, when you bite the bullet or when you bite the bait and you take the trap in the office and you begin to engage and you get off focus of your job and what you're supposed to do, and you get into that, you've just lost the battle because you just went back into the flesh. Have you found that out? Yeah, you lose. So you got to stay in the spirit. So when man says no, what are some things that we've got to do? Well, first of all, you got to magnify your work and call on the Lord. Magnify your work and call on the Lord, because that's what Nehemiah did. And I think it's pretty good advice. Here's Tobias and Sanballat. They're telling Nehemiah. They send him a letter. He's not listening to them. Then they send him four letters. It's like, really, guys, he's not listening. And this is what they say. See if I can find it in my notes. I got so far ahead of myself. I'm just going to read it in the Word. Is that all right? Let's go to Nehemiah. It's in the Old Testament. It's somewhere before the book of Psalms. It's good for you to go there because you probably don't go there very often. Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. So in Nehemiah chapter 6, Tobias and Sanballat, they're sending him all these nasty letters. And in chapter 6, verse 3 says, Nehemiah says, so I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Do you love that? He magnified what he was doing and he wouldn't engage in conversation. So that tells me that when I'm getting flack from man, I need to shut up and not stop the work. You know, we have a lot of critics. Jim and I have critics. They send out letters and videos and, oh, Jim and Debbie Cobray are this and Jim and Debbie Cobray. You know what? We've never engaged in defending ourselves or sending back letters or trying to send anything online or social media or anything like that. You know why? Because it's a waste of time. Why should I come down to that level when God is my defense? Why should you come down to the level of the enemy when the enemy is behind flesh and blood? If Nehemiah isn't going to get off the wall and stop the work for Tobias and Sanballat, why should you stop what you're doing for somebody else who's being absolutely activated by demonic powers and they don't even know it? That person at work that's just on your last nerve and just getting to you, guess what? Leave them alone. You know what? Is God good to you? Yes. Has he been good to you? Then you know what? Be good to that person that's getting on your last nerve. Oh, what a thought. Does God not say, I'm good and I give rain to the just and the unjust? My sun shines on the good and the evil. Did Jesus not say in Matthew that you can't just love those that love you? Why, even the evil people do that. You gotta love the evil people. You gotta love the ones that are hard to love. You know, the ones you wanna kick out. How about loving them? How about inviting people that are never gonna invite you to their house? How about loving the people that you can't stand? Oh! What a thought! You see, remember I told you about the kingdom? Fear not, little flock, it's power. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yeah, I didn't tell you about the other part of the kingdom. That part about the doing. See, that's a little opposite. He said, pray for your enemies. Remember Keith Hershey was here 2 weeks ago? Was it last week? Remember the man that was rich and that was kidnapped and his wife was killed and his servants were killed and they kidnapped him and they put him in the jungle for 11 days. They tied him up and they put a bag over his head and they didn't feed him for 11 days and they demanded $500,000 American dollars for his ransom. And he didn't get freed until the Spirit of God spoke to him in that wilderness in the jungles of Nigeria. And the Holy Spirit said, pray for your enemies. Do you know why? Because it's the power of that agape. You see, God is agape. He's love. There is a power that is so strong that when agape is released, it overwhelms and overrules hatred and unforgiveness and Satan's kingdom, and the lamb swallows up the dragon. That's what happened at the cross. The Lamb of God overwhelmed the dragon. If the prince of this world had known whom they crucified, they wouldn't have crucified the Lamb. It was the coup d'etat of all eternity. And the power of love, that spirit of meekness, which is power under the control of agape love, is the overwhelming power of the kingdom of God that Satan cannot overcome when it overwhelms hatred and malevolence and brutality and unforgiveness and evil. It will swallow it up in its goodness and its grace and its love. It's not, oh, I forgive you and everything's okay. No, it's a power of God that comes in and evil cannot exist in its wake. But you see, if you are stubborn and you insist on your human ways of revenge and vengeance, and you're going to have the puny power of your humanity, you will lose because you are no power against the force of darkness. But if you will switch over to the kingdom of God and you'll begin to walk in the goodness of God, you'll begin to walk in the power of love, you begin to walk in the kingdom power, you will begin to understand the force and the food. Jesus said, I have food that you don't know anything about. My food is to do the will of my Father. When he spoke to the woman at the well, a woman that no one would even communicate with. Guys, there's a life force that is available to believers that we've not even tapped into in our everyday life of just loving people and doing the will of God in our everyday simplicities that will bring you more joy and more goodness than you can believe. And God says, pray for your enemies. Love those that persecute you. Why? So that you can just be beat up? He wants to just see you bloody messes? No, because he knows the power of love. He knows that it's more powerful than hatred. And that's why he says, do not be overcome with evil in Romans 12, 21, but overcome evil with good. Listen, goodness was before evil. Evil is the absence of goodness. Therefore, goodness overcomes it. That's theology. I don't expect you to figure that out. Last one. Are you ready? Are you okay? Did I confuse you? Last one. What about, so when man says no, what does God say? Magnify your work and call on the name of the Lord. God will defend you. Pray for your enemies. Love those that persecute you. Overcome evil with good. It'll win every time. What do you do when it seems like heaven's silent? When it seems like God is saying no? When God isn't speaking? Where's the yes? Where are you, God? I need you. Why aren't you talking? Why aren't you answering my prayers? What's wrong? Where are you? Have you ever been there? If all the promises are yes and amen, why? And I just want to take you quickly to the end, and we'll finish with this. Do you remember that little woman in Matthew chapter 15? She's called the Syrophoenician woman, and it's a familiar story, so we'll just go there very quickly, and I'll just tell you the story. She was from Tyre and Sidon. She was a Syrophoenician woman, so she was from Greece, Syrian, probably. And Jesus was there. He wasn't in the region of the Jews, so she was not Jewish. And she's making a ruckus, and she's crying out to him, and she's saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. His disciples are listening to her, and they're talking to Jesus, and they're saying, send her away. She's making a racket. Send her away. And Jesus comments to them, and this is what it says in Matthew chapter 15, and if we could just go there, and then we'll end with this. Are you all right with me? We're almost done. I'm sorry, I ran out of time. I'm so sorry. Let's just see what the Lord does when he's silent and what faith does, and then we'll end with this. Chapter 15. Jesus went there, verse 21. And Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. So shut her up. She's making a racket. Have you ever just been embarrassed, like, oh, God, please just get away from her. Jesus, can you just shut her up? And he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, I can't do anything for you. You're out of the covenant. You're not Jewish. I'm sent to the Jews. Go away. Seems like God is saying, I can't help you. I'm sorry. Goodbye. Then she came and she worships him and she says, Lord, help me. And he answers and he says, it's not good to take the children's food and gives it to the little dog. So he's not calling her a dog. He's just saying, look, you're a little pup. You have no covenant with me. I can't do something for you. Go. And she says to him, it's not good to throw the children's bread into the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, truth. It's true. It's true. I'm just a dog. I'm just a little dog. But I'm not asking you for the whole loaf of bread. I'm just asking you for a crumb. And, oh, Lord, you're the Almighty God. I'm not asking for the loaf, but just one crumb is more than enough. If you could just give me one little crumb under the table, it's more than enough to fix her. One crumb from you, because you're God Almighty, is enough to fix my daughter. And Jesus stops, and he says, oh, woman, great is your faith. Go. Your faith has saved you. Your daughter is healed from this hour. And I just want to take a moment and look at that. Because that little woman who was outside the covenant, who had no right to have the blessing of God on her life, it wasn't her time yet. The Gentiles had not yet come into the covenant. Jesus had not yet been crucified and resurrected. And yet her faith stopped God and changed and moved his heart to speed up the time to get her yes when there was a no, when there was a delay. It wasn't a denial, but it was a delay. And what I want to say to you is that faith doesn't let go. Faith doesn't let go, because God's delays are not always his denials with us. God may seem silent. Now, when God says no, don't mess with a no. But when God doesn't say no, and he's silent, he's moving, and he's working with things we can't understand. He's etching character, and he's moving behind the scenes, just like he was with my blue house. Paul didn't know when he was in prison and he was called to preach the gospel to the world, but he's locked up in a prison that those letters were going to become the New Testament for the rest of eternity. Maybe he did know, but I'm assuming maybe he didn't. You see, you don't know why the circumstances in your life are right now the way they are. Because you don't see all the threads yet, how they're all working together. And maybe heaven seems silent. And maybe there are so many no's in front of you right now that it seems like God's just not listening. Like God's just denying. Like God's indifferent. But you see, like this little Syrophoenician girl that said, oh Lord, I'm not asking for the whole loaf, but I know who you are. I know that you're Almighty God. And I know that I don't need the loaf. I'm not worthy for the loaf, but I know one little crumb is all I need. Could I just have a crumb that drops from the table? And you see, that was enough for God. And this is where I want to end tonight, is Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll end with this. I promise. Here's my last closing verse. Here it is. Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. We're talking about the yes in front of the promises. Wait a minute. They all died in faith. They didn't get the promises. But having seen them afar off, they were assured of them. They embraced them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly. There's that declaration. Declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared a city for them. Listen, we have a whole community of believers that have gone before us. Maybe they didn't get everything that they were believing for. There were so many no's in front of their yes, but they know the yes is coming. And even though they didn't get it, they still believe for it. They're believing for it. You see, I may not get every yes I'm believing God for, and I don't need the crumb. I got the whole loaf. I got Jesus. They're all yes and amen in Christ. They're all coming, and I don't care if I see them this side of heaven. They're coming because my faith is not going to let go, because my God says I can have them, and I'm going to believe God until my dying breath. I'm going to believe God because he's God, and he cannot lie, and he's looking for a church that will stand up and believe him and not quit and not let go like that little Syrophoenician girl and say, I just need a crumb. A crumb is enough, God. He's given us the whole loaf of bread. His name is Jesus. Will we believe him? Will we believe him, church? Will we believe him? What is too hard for our God? There are yeses in front of your futures. Will you believe? Stand with me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Some of you don't know the Lord. Some of you are here tonight and you've been playing. I don't know what you've been playing with God. You're in and you're out, you're up and you're down. This is not a time to play with God. These are dangerous days. With every head bowed and every eye closed right now. If you need to get right with God, I'm going to ask that you stay in your seats. Have respect for the Holy Spirit right now. It's not time to go. There are people whose lives are on the brink of eternity. If you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not seen him, I'm asking you to believe a God that you've not seen. I'm asking you to surrender to the King of the universe who died for you, who loved you and gave himself for you. I'm asking you to trust him and begin the journey of faith with him. I'm asking you tonight, not because I've done a great job of revealing him to you, but there's a Spirit of God in this place tonight who is the revelator of Jesus Christ. And he's opening your hearts and he's speaking to you right now. And he's talking to you right now. And just like when I was 26 years old and the Holy Spirit was bringing me back to God, and I knew I couldn't escape. I knew it was real, and I had to do something about it. You're here tonight, and He's brought you to this moment of decision. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, just between you and God, if you need to get right with God tonight, I want you to raise your hand. Just lift it up so I can see it. All over this auditorium, let me see your hand. Nobody else needs to be looking around. Let me see your hand. I see that hand. Let me see your hands high. Let me see them. I see that hand. I see that hand. Lift them high. Anybody else? I see that hand. Ushers, help me. I see that hand. Let me see. Let me see. I see that hand. I see that hand. Don't be ashamed. He loves you. He brought you here. There's nothing to be ashamed of. This is reality. This is eternity. Anybody else need to get right with God tonight? Lift up your hand. We're going to pray tonight. Anybody else need to get right with God? He's speaking to your heart. It's between you and God. Nobody else. Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, this is what I want you to do without taking a lot of time. I just want you to slip out of your seats. I want you to just come right down here. Heads out, heads bowed, eyes closed. Just slip out of your seats. Just, you raise your hand. Just come and join me right here. We're going to pray. Just quickly come. No clapping, nothing. Just come. Just quickly come. Just come. Let's get right with God. Let's don't play any more games. Let's just get right with God right now. This is heaven and earth. This is heaven touching earth right now. This is heaven talking to your hearts. This is you and God. This is your time. This is God saying, this is your time. I'm talking to you. This is your time to be son. This is your time to be daughter. This is your time to make the connection. This is your time to start your journey with God. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to get it. You just have to know that God is speaking to your heart right now. It's all right. You'll figure it out. He'll walk you through it. He'll begin to talk to you day by day, moment by moment. He'll begin to unravel and unpack all of this for you. Nobody's asking you to figure this all out. He's a good God, and He loves you. He'll never embarrass you. He'll never share your secrets. He knows the worst thing about you. He won't tell a soul. He knows how to keep secrets. Oh, how He loves you. Anybody else need to get right with God? This is God's moment with you. Nobody else, just you and God. He paid so much for you. You have no idea. You have no idea how valuable you are to the Father. Because you probably have no idea how much He loves His only Son. Pastor Joel, I would like you to just take these beloved, precious, incredible saints and just follow Joel. Just make a left turn. We're going to pray with you privately because we want to make this a precious moment with you, and not, we don't want you to be a spectacle in front of anybody. We'll bring you right back out. Just quickly go. Now we can give, just, we've been praying for you folks, so now can we just give the Lord a clap offering? Pastor Dan.
Wow. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Did you guys get something from the word of the Lord tonight? Come on, let's give God a praise. That was a move of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.